there was a young girl born into a Christian family, and she was raised to be a faithful person. Her parents blessed her often, telling her that God had special plans for her. Maybe she would be a minister's wife or be a teacher or teach people about God. Whatever they believed, that God would use her. But the problem was, this young girl didn't feel equipped for such a calling. She grew up and she was concerned about how was God going to use her in this way. She didn't have a good memory. She wasn't good with numbers. The way she saw people share their faith, it seemed like you had to have a special plan and take someone in a special direction, and she didn't feel equipped for that. And so she was very fearful that she would not be enough, that she would bring shame to God because she wasn't equipped properly. The title of this lesson that I want to bring to you today is that evangelism is not a four-letter word. In today's world, evangelism is misunderstood, and I think it's considered a bad word, and sometimes even in our preaching, we don't use the word evangelism very often. It's taboo. We live in a culture where it's not politically correct to tell someone about Jesus or to say that maybe there's one way to get to God. So what are we supposed to do? Many times, I work for the Let's Start Talking ministry, and I have been a part of this for 30 years now. And many times in our ministry, my job is to help churches send their adults on Let's Start Talking projects. And so I get to work with a lot of people that are in their retirement. Sometimes they're even quite old, you know, 70, 80, 90. We sent a 92-year-old this year. And many times they will come to me and they will report that this was the first time that they had ever shared their faith. And they have such joy. And so many times they'll say, oh, I wish I would have known this sooner. And it just breaks my heart because I want everyone to feel like they can share their faith. What have we done in the church that makes us feel like we're not enough? That we're not equipped to share what is so important to us. When we sing songs that God is everything, why are we scared to share it with our neighbor? And so I'd like to share just three scriptures that maybe will be helpful as we think about this. You might feel like you relate to the story of the young woman where you're raised in a church and maybe you didn't feel equipped. Or maybe you feel like you are one of the older adults who your whole life, maybe you felt like you should share your faith, but you didn't really know how. But maybe you're a new Christian and you just feel like, I don't have enough experience. I don't have enough knowledge to share my faith. And I hope that just the things we talk about today will help us think of ourselves in a different light. It maybe empower us to think that we might be able to do more than we think. So the first scripture I'd like to share is John 20:31, and in this verse, what we're talking about is just the power of God's word. How does God want us to think about this word evangelism? And in Let's Start Talking, we really do believe that the power of God's word is so important. And in this verse in John 20:31, it says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not recorded in this book. But these words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So what is this saying and how is it helpful? So many times this is at the very end of John, so it's the end of all the Gospels, and it says that these words are written that you may believe. And what words is it talking about? I believe it's talking about the gospel story, you know, that there is a specific purpose for the story of Jesus. And it is powerful enough to bring people to faith. And so many times when we think about evangelism, we think that we have to have a special plan, a special direction. But really, this is saying that God's word was written, that people could gain life, that they could learn about God's Son. And so if we could get people into the Word, read it, have a conversation about it, Is there enough power in that word to bring people to faith? Do we need to have degrees? I think having education is very important, but is the power of God's word strong enough to bring people to faith? On our very first LST trip, we met a guy named Vol. We went to Kiev, Ukraine. It was right after the wall had fallen, and there was about six of us who went to Kiev. I was 22 years old, and as we sat and we read with Vol, he was in his 60s. He was a scientist, and he was a doctor, so he's very, very educated. And there had been a team before us for 6 weeks, and then we were there for 6 weeks. So we got quite a ways into the Gospel of Luke with him. And at the end of our time together, we said, Vol, you know what? What do you think about what you've read? And he said, his sweet smile, and he said, you know, I would love to believe this was true, but it's impossible for me to believe. I just was raised that none of this could be true. And so we left, and that time there wasn't internet. I know that sounds crazy to all you young people, but we didn't have much communication. Mailing letters took a long time. So we came back that next summer, and the next summer Vol was there at our information meeting, and he signed up again. And we sat down with him, and we said, so Vol, it's been a year. What has happened? And his first words out of his mouth is, I'm ready to be baptized. And we were like, what has happened? You know, like, we're just shocked. That wasn't where we left him. What could have changed? And he said that during the previous year, he had read the entire New Testament and had come to faith in Jesus Christ, that the word was powerful enough to change someone who had been raised his entire life that Jesus is not real, to believe that it was real. And we were able to baptize him. And Vol went on to write a book about creation versus evolution that is even taught in the schools in Kiev. And it was just so special to be able to see how truly the power of God's word was. But it was also powerful for us because we sat and we read these lessons over and over. And we just felt in our heart a passion for what we were reading. And it was amazing. But then the other thing that we have is the power of God's promises. And we read in Isaiah 55 where it says, As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and does not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So it is with my word that... So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve what purpose for which I sent it. What an amazing thought that when God's word goes out, it does not return empty. Just like when water goes on the ground, it does something. We don't have control over it. And that is how it is with God's word. And so... the question is, how do we invite God into this amazing story? How do we sit down with people and interact with them in the world, in the Word, and just be able to have some conversations with them? Through LST, we've done that through helping people with English. We've done that internationally. We do it locally called FriendSpeak. And we're sitting down, they have a need, and we have a desire to share Jesus. We're able to help their need while being proactive with our desire to share with them Jesus. It's very non-confrontational. It's very, it's a very relationship-oriented way, and we're believing in God's power to bring people to faith. And we're there to illustrate how that looks. What does a lifetime of loving God, or even months of loving God, what does that look like? So that's been a easy way for us to see how when God's word goes out. But then in 2001, my family moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and God had really put it on my heart about my American friends. How am I going to reach to my American friends? What do they need? How can we interact? But we went back to the power of the word and decided we just need to get people together reading. And one of the things I think it does is that we have to be intentional with inviting people into our spaces. And so one of the things that I felt like God was calling me to do was to start a neighborhood Bible study. And I just promised God that if I met any women, it was going to be just for women, if I met any women that were stay-at-home moms, I was just going to invite them to the study. And we were walking on paths, and we met people. We were at playgrounds playing, and we met people and just invited them to the study. And what is amazing about this, that we just don't know what purpose when the word goes out, is that every person we interacted with responded in different ways. And you never knew exactly what the purpose was. And sometimes we did know the purpose, but one girl in particular, I met her at the park. And it was right at the end of, is in May, it was right at the end of our Bible study. And so in my head, I have this little debate going, well, probably I shouldn't invite her. We just have one session left, you know. But I had made this promise to God. If I met someone, I was going to invite them. So I invited her to come to our Bible study. And she told me she was new to the neighborhood and that, yes, she would like to come. So she came to that one study. And then we broke. For the summer, I tried to call her. Her phone had changed. I didn't know what had happened. And so I didn't really think a lot more about this. But until 3 years later, this lady at our church walks up to me and says, my name's Christine, and we met at the park. Do you remember me? And I said, oh, yes, I do. I said, what has happened? You know, what happened? And she said, well, she said, that summer wasn't a good summer for me. I ended up getting a divorce and moved away. And in the midst of all this moving, I lost your phone number. But I wanted to tell you that just coming to that one study meant a lot to me. And you had mentioned that what church you went to, and my coworker invited me to church. And I remembered that it was the same church you went to, so I said yes. And through my interaction there, I have come to know God, and I've become a Christian. And it was just one of those times where God just really confirmed to us that, you know, sometimes it's just the invite, the one invite that makes a difference, that we never know what God's purpose for an individual person is. I also have someone in our Bible study who's been attending for 17 years. I wouldn't say that she calls herself a Christian now. She kind of comes in and out of our group periodically. And we've just made a commitment, as long as she's coming, this Bible study is going to keep happening. And that we believe that she's going to make a decision for faith. And even this semester, she's going to lead one of our sessions. And we're so proud to be able to walk along beside her and know in faith that God's words are going to do what it needs to do. And we've had lots of discussions and invited her to church, and I can have peace with the answer she gives, but we can still be tenacious in reaching out to her and letting her know that she is fully loved. And whether she makes the decision that we want her to make or not, she is fully loved when she comes to our group, and we believe God is going to take that and do what he wants with it. The last verse I want to share is, when I look at this, it's just the power of God's provision. And this is Acts 17. And it says, from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. And God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he's not far from each of us. He determines the exact places where they should live so that people can reach out to him. Well, what does this mean to us? If he has decided that this is my time to live in Tempe, Arizona, what does this mean for our communities and our neighbors? And for me to live in Dallas, what does this mean? And it says that he's not far from each of us. Well, if I know that I'm a follower of Christ, what does that mean? Is it possible that I'm put in a community so that God is not far from the people who do not know him? And if that is true, if I'm in a community because people are reaching out to him and I am his his ambassador, then when I walk out my front door, it is very important how I view that. That my interactions with my neighbors, my interactions with the people that God puts me in contact with should be intentional. It should have a purpose. And I should kind of feel like that I live in a fishbowl, that I'm an illustration for the words that I believe, and then have opportunities to invite them into activities that are in the Word. And I also think this talks about what we might do with our free time, that God moves us places. We live in a time in the world where it's easy to visit places, and we have some expendable time that we could use to reach out to other people. And so it could be that one way God uses us is when he sends us on things like mission trips, as Jenna and her friends have talked about today, is that they had a six-week period that was a specific time, a specific place for a specific purpose. And they set aside that time in order to reach the people in China at a time where the Chinese government is trying to stop it. The Chinese government does not want their citizens to know this, and yet they were there at a six-week period of time and were able to share Jesus in a very personal way. And so many times it's hard to think about, well, how do I reach my community? In our neighborhood, people pretty much drive up to their door, and they park in the garage, and they shut it, and it's hard to meet people. So I think it just means that we have to be intentional with the way we use our time and our connections. So this could mean that I'm going to reach out and not do all my volunteer time at church. Maybe I'm going to volunteer in a local church, in a nursing home, or at my local school. It could be that I run the community neighborhood association in order to make people. It could be that I would pick my house because it has the neighborhood mailbox, and so I get to watch as people come and meet my neighbors. Or that I sit out front when I know people are out mowing their yard or doing things so that I can meet neighbors. Or it could mean that I just am consistent at going next door, knocking on the door, and asking them, do you have anything that I can help you with? I just want to be your friend. And they might think that I'm weird, and I might be different. I have a neighbor who I reached out to very, very intentionally, and she pushed back. She did not want that. But when she had a baby, we took food, and we just tried to reach her. And now she lives in New York, but she will write me an email and just say, I just want you to know you're really the only person I feel like is my Texas friend. But it required being tenacious, and it required being a little weird, and just weird in the sense of being friendly and wanting to share Jesus with people. Well, I mentioned at the first of the story about the young woman, and you probably guessed that that person is me. And I'm thankful that I was able to grow up and learn the truths and not let Satan use me to stifle my effectiveness because of self-doubt or feeling unequipped. I don't feel like God ever fixed me. I would love to have a better memory. I would love to be able to recall scriptures better. And I've prayed about it a lot, and God just said, look, I've equipped you. You go and you share as I have equipped you. And other people share in different ways, but we just all need to be prepared to share. One of the things that during our LST projects, we read out of the book of Luke. And in the second lesson, we talk about how the angel came to Mary and is telling them that she's going to get pregnant and she's going to have the Son of God. And this summer, I was in Poland. And so a lot of our readers had very good English, and they were from the Catholic tradition. Many of them weren't doing anything with their belief, but they knew the stories. And as we were reading this, we were talking about, well, what made Mary special in this story? And what we decided is that it didn't say that she was perfect. It didn't say that she was sinless. It just said that God was pleased with her. But why? Why was God pleased with her? And we decided that it was because she said yes to God. She didn't know all the answers. She didn't understand everything God was equipping her. She didn't feel equipped. But she said yes. And I think that's what evangelism is. I think it's saying yes and believing that there's power in God's word, that God will be true to his promises, and that he's going to provide the people whom he wants us to reach out to, whether that's across the street or around the world. Thank you.